Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on our broadcast. Roland, please.
Carl, we have Herman Hinton, retired from the as chief of police, deputy chief of police from the Birmingham Police Department after 30 years of service. Prior to that, he commanded the homicide unit for more than 8 years. He's the author of Hidden Relationships of the Homicide Detectives. Welcome, Mr. Hinton. Thank you very much for being with us, Chief.
Thank you, Roland and Carl, for having me on.
Tell me, what are the hidden relationships of a homicide detective? Are they numbered that you can tell us about?
Well, yeah, this is a, first of all, it's a mild mannered mystery novel where the teenage son, it's not about me, it's not about my alter ego. This is the teenage son of a premier homicide investigator who, out of fear that his dad is having an affair, he delves into his dad's secret connections and launches his own investigation into his dad's background, and he learns more than he bargains for about life, about loss, and about kinship.
Now, how much of your own experience did you bring? I mean, that's an obvious question. I think I could probably answer it myself. How much of your experience did you bring into your novel?
In reading the novel, you can depict that it was written by a police, someone with affiliation with the police department, but it's really just an imagination. You know, I realized that we had some problems. First of all, let me just back up. I think that anytime you work a job for 30 years, you have a book in you, okay? And mm-hmm. so I think you need to give something back. And based on my empirical view, the things that I saw, I decided to just, you know, come up with this this out of my imagination, formulate this book to try to help truncate some of the problems that I saw in just kind of a fictional way.
Did you solve a lot of homicides in your practical life as a detective?
Yeah. Believe it or not, the Birmingham Police Department here in Alabama, the national average, I think, homicide rate was around 58% or so. We solved around 72% of our homicides. And one of my claims to fame is I brought the cold case unit in about 12 or 13 years ago, and that added to that clearance rate. So, yeah, we solved a lot of homicides, and I'm just really elated about that. But one homicide is one too many, so I still get a little upset knowing that I didn't solve all of them on my watch.
Chief Hinton, Carl Sabatino here. I'm always interested in someone of your background in terms of why you are motivated to write a book. What motivates you to do? What motivated you? What was the story you're trying to say? What's the story you're trying to tell us?
Well, the story I'm trying to tell here is really trying to bring attention to the family. Again, you know, when you work a job for as long as I worked it, you realize that there are some issues out here because we saw a lot of the social ills and dealing with people that there are some really troubled people out here. And just based on my experience, I'm trying to tell a story to draw attention to the family because I think that the family is a lost link. And then secondly, I wanted to bring attention to the crime victim. You know, and I want crime victims, especially violent crime victims, to understand that they're not just pawns that police officers and detectives use to solve cases. You know, they're a very important part of the criminal justice system. And then I want people to think about the decisions that we make in life. And we got to understand that the decisions that we make in life, they are going to either bring us honor or disaster. You know, and we are the decisions that we make in life, they make us who we are. So I want people to think twice before they get out here and make some of the bonehead decisions that I've seen over the last 30 years.
What are some of the techniques that you use to get a suspect talking so that you develop that relationship where you might find pieces of information that you would not know if you didn't do that?
Well, first of all, you know, you've got to establish a relationship with that person, you know, and it starts by doing a little background. If you have time to let them sit back and just kind of marinate a little bit while you you know, get on the horn, you know, and go to the computer and find out what you can about that person, you know. And they're going to talk to you 9 times out of 10 because they're trying to find out what you know. You know, it's a rarity when you go in there and, you know, you start collecting your vital information from them, you know, the name, you know, date of birth, social, and all that stuff, you know. While they're sitting there, you know, they are just, you know, when they really get into the interview, then you finally, you know, read them their rights, you know, and you would think that the average Joe would think that they're not going to talk to you, but they want to talk to you, especially the guilty ones, because they want to find out what you know. So you've got to take time out to find as much as you can, find out as much as you can about this person's background, and you go in and you just kind of strike up a conversation with them. You don't get to the core of it because, you know, they're eager to try to find out what you know, but you got to kind of play it by ear. But, you know, you play on their soft spots. You know, you got to do this irrespective to what they've done. You can't let emotions play in. Emotions, you know, they're just no good when it comes to making decisions and when it comes to doing interviews. You've got to get that person relaxed, as relaxed as you possibly can, and just talk to them. And 9 times out of 10, they're gonna start talking to you and give you that piece that you want, you know. And a lot of times, you know, like I said, a good interview, it usually takes anywhere from 3 to 6 hours, you know, with breaks in between. But it really takes a long time to get them to soften up and finally realize, you know what, there's no way out. But like I said, and then you have the, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the hardened core criminals, who if you get them in there and get to talking to them, they're just going to tell you right from the onset, listen, man, I'm not going to talk to you. I want my lawyer, you know. And that's the way that goes. But you got to develop a relationship with these people because they're human, and you got to look past what they did and sit down and just kind of, you know, throw that out the back of your mind and just play that little game with them to try to get them to talk. Chief. Because the DA's office always wants physical evidence plus something else. And if you can get that confession, that's cream to cocoa.
Chief Hinton, in all the years on your force working in homicide, and that's always what friends of mine in the police forces across the country say, that what we call the tough unit to work in. What have you come away with? What do you come away with in the 30 years in a large metropolitan city? What did you come away with in your experience, please?
What did I come away with?
Yeah, in terms of your reaction to society, to the things that affect us in this world, what have you come away with in 30 years of working as ending up as chief of police for Birmingham Police Department? What did you come away with? What did you learn in all of that?
Well, first of all, I really and truly, just my belief now, that there is the average family now just really don't have a concept as to who God is. You know, the first and foremost, I think that is the most important thing that I learned. And I learned that family, you know, the family had just lost its effectiveness. You know, we got kids raising kids out here, you know, them in the cell phones. You know, one time, you know, coming up, you knew everybody on the street. You know, even the person that lives on the end house, they had a hand in your life. If they saw you doing something wrong, they were privileged to chastise you and to deal with you. And then you got dealt with severely at home. You got both parents working now, you know, and the children are practically raising themselves.
Certainly,
you know, the family just a lost art.
You know, Chief, it's certainly a societal problem, not just endemic to Birmingham or to Alabama. I have a couple of quick, short questions. And the first one is, are the portrayals of detectives on television or in novels accurate from your point of view?
No, because they do a lot of... they commit a lot of violations as far as civil rights are concerned, you know, and you just can't treat these people any kind of way to suspect, you know, and some of the technology that they had, I'm yet to discover it, you know, with the Birmingham Police Department. So I think some of the technology that they use is far-fetched, and you know, and every police department, most of the police departments nationwide, unless they have a good strong police foundation, they're scrapped for money, you know, we don't have the equipment and stuff to deal with, you know, and we don't get the cooperation that these people get. Most of the time, on TV, is they deal with the high profile crime. You don't see them out in the hood, you know, in the ghetto, you know, and dealing with some of these knuckleheads that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, most of their crimes that they're solving, the people that they deal with, are high society. And it really makes a difference when you're down here with people, you don't have anybody, you know, and most of these neighborhoods that we I've worked in, you know, they have this code of silence. You know,
that's true.
They won't talk.
You know, that's true, Chief Hinton. I have to cut you off, unfortunately, because we're running out of time for this segment. But I want to thank you for joining us on Smith Sabatino. And again, the book is Hidden Relationships of a Homicide Detective. So it's a novel. Take a look at it. And thanks again, Chief.
Yeah, Roland, Carl, I appreciate you guys for having me on.
All right. Bye-bye.
Carl Sabatino, Smith Sabatino. We're back.
Weekend. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.